Samantha Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa. Okay, so today this session should be question and answer. But before I start the question and answer, I'd like to give short time Dhamma talk first. Very short Dhamma talk. A question for you. How a notion of self arises? How a notion of self arises?
From your parents,
okay? Some more questions? Some more?
Delusion.
Okay. Let's say the pain arises in your body. What is the reaction without mindfulness and wisdom? What's the reaction? I am painful, right? Without mindfulness and wisdom. Or pain belong to me. Pain belong to me. You take pain is your property. Right? Then when you have mental unpleasant, you know, for example when somebody abuse you, then you have unpleasantness in the mind. Without mindfulness and wisdom, you feel that I'm so unpleasant, right? You cling to that unpleasant feeling. Then when you eat something and you see this food is sour, this food is bitter, this food is sweet. In fact, it's perception that distinguishes. Perception perceives this sour, this is sweet, this spicy. But without mindfulness and wisdom, you think I know this is sweet, this is sour, this is bitter, right? So you cling to it. It is through clinging that you say I know this is sweet, this is bitter. Similarly, when the anger arises in you without mindfulness and wisdom, you say, I'm angry, I hate him, I don't like him. So this also clinging to your mental state, right? And when your eye sees, like when a man's eye sees beautiful woman, then he, without mindfulness and wisdom, he also cling to that seeing consciousness as I see. Instead of not seeing as seeing, then he cling to his eye consciousness, then I see, and so on. Therefore, the notion of I arises. So the notion of I arises due to clinging. You know Ananda? Everybody know Ananda, right? The attendant of Buddha. Ananda become Sotapan because he heard the Dhamma talk of one Arahant, I forgot the Arahant's name already. So this Arahant, give him a very short discourse. He said that, Ananda, it is by clinging that notion of I arises, not without clinging. Then clinging to what? I think all of you know the answer already. Clinging to what? Correct. Clinging to five aggregates. So if you know, can understand this Dhamma clearly, you know how to practice, even without me. Right? So it's clinging. It's by way of clinging, the notion of I arises, not without clinging. Clinging to what? Use simple language. Clinging to your body and mind. If you don't understand five aggregates, no problem. Clinging to your body and mind. Therefore, the notion of I arises. Then, let's say, you look at the mirror. Every morning, or after taking your shower, you look at the mirror. Then reflect yourself, yeah? The mirror reflect your own self. Do you look at that mirror with clinging or without clinging? Be honest. Of course with clinging. You don't look at the mirror, this is not me, this is not my life. Look at the mirror and see, I think, which part is less beautiful, which part is more beautiful. Of course, with clinging. Huh? I think not even a day you look at the mirror thinking that mirror is not I. It's never a day, right? So this is very clear to show that the notion of I arises because of clinging. Huh? You look at the mirror with clinging, therefore the I is myself. Inside that mirror is myself. You know, I look beautiful. Hey, my hair not beautiful. I better go and do my hair today, and so on. So all this with clinging. Then how to get rid of this clinging to five aggregates? How to get rid of this clinging to mind and body and this Arahant, Mata Puntali. I forgot his name. So this Arahant further said that it's due to clinging to five aggregates. Then let us roughly know what are the five aggregates. First is form aggregate, body, or four elements. Body consists of four elements, earth element, water, fire, wind. Then the second aggregate is feeling. We have shared how to contemplate feeling already. There are three types of feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Then the third one, perception. Perception perceives the special feature of the objects. For example, the food, the sour, spicy, hot. Perception perceive it, not I perceive, right? Perception is only a mental factor. Then the fourth aggregate is mental formations. Mental formation including all wholesome mental state and all unwholesome mental state. All wholesome mental state is like concentration. Wisdom, faith, compassion, loving kindness. Unwholesome is like view, the self of view, the view of self, and jealousy, anger, delusion, greed, and so on. All these are called mental formations. So when this mental formation arises in our mind, we cling to it as I, mind, myself, right? Then consciousness, six type of consciousness. Eye consciousness sees, ear consciousness hears, nose consciousness smell. Tongue consciousness, taste. Body consciousness, touch, right? And mind consciousness, think. So when this type, one of these six type of consciousness arise in our mind, without mindfulness and wisdom, then we say, I think, I see, I hear, I smell. We identify everything as I, mind, myself, due to clinging. Yeah? We cling to this seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and thinking. Therefore, the notion of I arises. Then how to get rid of this notion of I? The Arahant said that. The Arahant asked a question. Asked Ananda a question. Do you think the form, is it permanent or impermanent? What's the answer? Okay. Then do you think feeling is permanent or impermanent? Okay. Do you think all your mental state permanent or impermanent? Okay. And what is impermanent? Is it happiness or suffering?
Suffering.
Suffering. What is impermanent, unsatisfactory or suffering? Can you regard it as this is mine, this is myself, this is what I am? Yes or no? No. So after listening to this, Ananda become noble one. So what the message want to convey, whatever all these five aggregates, arise from the mind and body, if you can contemplate them as vanishing, impermanent, gradually you will see is nature being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is unsatisfactory, undesirable, and is dukkha, suffering. And when you can see anicca, impermanence, and dukkha, then the knowledge dawned upon you that what is suffering, what is impermanent, what is suffering, cannot be regarded as self or I am or mine. What is this self? If we say self atta, means that something can be controlled, right? It's called atta, self in Pali. Atta, the meaning of atta is something you can control. This is one meaning of atta. The second meaning of atta is there is substantiality. But we know through our own, even in this 7 days meditation retreat, you know already, unpleasant feeling cannot be controlled, right? When you sit long time, it comes. When you get up, it disappears. Cannot be controlled at all. Then your mental state also you cannot control. When anger arises, because of cause and condition, it arises, then it passes away. Then the pleasant feeling, pleasant experience arises, then second sitting, no more, passes away. So through your own practical experience, even in this short retreat, you understand nothing can be controlled. This is called anatta. This is called non-self in the teaching of the Buddha. So non-self doesn't refer to this personality self, no. Refer to the process of phenomena cannot be controlled. No substantiality. Does not yield to one's wishes. It's called anatta, non-self in the teaching of the Buddha. It's not the losing this self, no. If losing this self, everybody gets frightened. Everybody say, my goodness, where is myself? No, it doesn't mean that. That's why the correct grasping of the Buddha's teaching is very important. So if you can contemplate in this way, contemplate what the Arahant say, and also what I share with you so far, whatever arises, either form, aggregate or pain, or feeling, or perception, or mental formation, or consciousness, just note vanishing. Or you listen cause and effect. As you keep on repeat the same process, when your mindfulness and wisdom come to maturity, you will see very fast arising and passing away. Very, very fast arising and passing away. At that time, you also will understand being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is what Buddha meant suffering. Body also suffering, pain also suffering. This is called dukkha, dukkha. What Buddha meant suffering is more than that. Right? So when you understand these two, automatically you understand the whole process cannot be controlled. This is called non-self in the teaching of the Buddha. So similarly, this Arahant gives the same thing. He asks, do you think form is permanent or impermanent? Then Ananda starts to contemplate impermanent. So when he sees impermanent, he also understands this suffering and this non-self. Then he becomes stream enterer. So to become stream enterer is not so difficult, right? Keep on repeat the same process again and again, again and again, until your mindfulness, until your wisdom become mature. And five controlling faculties become balanced, then you hit the target. You become the noble one. Let me come back to the first important question. In order to become a stream enterer, what we want to get rid of is notion of self. Right? Then let me repeat, stress the importance of the question. Why the notion of self arises? Because of clinging, not without clinging. Clinging to what? Five aggregates, or another word, mind and body. So if you understand this point, so whatever arises in mind and body, just note. How to note? Contemplate. Impermanent, vanishing, disappearing, or passing away, or cause and effect. If you keep on doing the same thing again and again, you are sure to reach the end of your destination. Okay, such short talk, enough to enlighten you. Okay, any question, answer? All these are important talk, need you to think deeply and apply it. Right? I don't have to give so many Dhamma talk. Whatever I talk is the same thing. Whatever Buddha talk is also the same thing. Just important, a few important ones, you get it, then you get the whole teaching of the Buddha easily. You can see I give my talk 15 minutes, I can bring out all the important points of what the Buddha taught. But it takes me 30 years to understand the teaching of the Buddha, I tell you. It takes me 30 years, keep on, practicing, keep on study the sutta, then finally all understanding become clear. At that time, you don't need teacher anymore. Okay?
When you mentioned about Sankara in five aggregates of clinging, does that refer to the 52 mental factors?
Yes.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, they are the same. Yes. But it's different than the Sankara independent origination.
Sankara meaning is very wide. Kaya Sankara, verbal Sankara, action Sankara, mental Sankara, meaning are very wide.
In five aggregates of clinging is the 52.
Yes, correct.
Sally, I really understand the short talk from Sayale. So I already think since yesterday about Sayale always encourage us about the I, myself, non-self. Mm. So I remember when we start the meditation, we always scanning our body. But when we do scanning, we say that may my mind be happy, may my eyes be healthy. Now, so it's come to my question that it is correct to say in that way, my eyes may be happy.
That's why when I teach scanning, I never teach like that. When I teach scanning, I say, may the four elements be balanced. May the four elements be balanced and healthy. I don't say, may my body be healthy. Because I want to get rid of this identity view of self. So you scan. Whatever part in the body is made up by four elements. So you say, may the four elements be balanced. Four elements in here, balance, shoulder, balance, here, balance, there, balance. That accordant with the truth. Also to remind you, the body make up by four elements so that you will not forget.
So I repeat again, we're supposed to say that may four elements at my forehead be happy,
yes.
elements at my eyes be happy.
Don't my eyes again. Okay. May the four elements in the eye enough. That's why you see our habitual clinging. Clinging. That's what I call clinging. May the four elements in the eyes be well. May the four elements in the shoulder be well enough. Even not, do not look at the mirror, also a lot of clinging.
There's a space.
Yes. Good. Therefore, there are good. Therefore, there are six elements. In the teaching of the Buddha, there are six elements, not four. Four, six element. Number five is space element. What you mentioned, space element. But space is not ultimate truth. We know there's a space, but space is not the object of observation, right? And the last one is mind element. Mind, all the mind. So because mind element is already mentioned in consciousness, so we don't mention it again. But space element is there. Okay, any question, please?
You said the notion of eye glance due to clinging. Is it true with the opposite of clinging also? If you are repelling?
Repelling, no more clinging.
You are all the time clinging. Sometimes you might look at the mirror and you might repel.
Repel what?
The opposite of clinging, not wanting.
Not wanting.
Push away, they don't want it.
It's not there. I is not there. You don't have to want or don't want. The self is not there. Self never exists. It's the view assist, self never assist. The view of self assist. You cling to the view, it's not you don't cling to the self. But because we don't understand, we thought self is there, so we cling to the self.
Yes, what I'm asking is,
so we repair with what we don't want is the view of self, it's not the self itself. Understand?
Yes, but what I'm asking is it always clinging or can it be the opposite of clinging? Like, repulsion.
Repulsion, no. It depends on your mind. Why should you feel repulsive of it or rebel? Why should you have that mental state?
Well, you might look at something, like a tree that you don't like. Which might bring memories back and you don't want to see it, or you might look at a person and you might repel.
No, the repel there is anger.
Sometimes you cling, sometimes you repel.
Repel is anger. Anger.
Anger.
Anger
is,
state of mind. We don't want to have that anger state of mind.
Even that also does it give the notion of self?
Of course. That also clinging to the anger. Clinging to the anger, mental formation. That's also notion of I, self arises. Don't you cling to your anger? Yes or no? No one can deny it. Right? You have to be honest. So we cling to the anger. There's a notion of I also arises. Notion of self also arises. Okay? Any other question?
Sorry, when we contemplate on the pain, I am thinking that there are two ways to contemplate. One is to contemplate as a feeling.
Unpleasant feeling.
Unpleasant feeling. The other way, we can also contemplate mind.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct. The reaction of the mind towards the pain.
Yes.
They say anger, resisting, right? Don't like it. So instead of looking at physical form aggregate, you can see formation aggregate. Your mental reaction towards the pain. So see your reaction and contemplate this anger as non-self, resisting is non-self, rejection is non-self, not myself, cause and effect, vanishing.
But even using the mind contemplation, there are a few ways that Saya taught us. Using the mind directly and using another mind to observe the other.
Yes. No question? No more?
Perhaps if you could, this might be a repetition, but under the Eightfold Path, this right
view,
mindfulness, right concentration, right effort. So all that is samadhi. So could you perhaps clarify for us the right? What is right? Under right concentration, when you apply the breath, then it is sustained in the breath. And then it's the mind, then it is observing the mind and seeing thoughts for what they are. Is that what you mean by right concentration?
This is called right wisdom. Right view.
That's right view.
Seeing things as they are is right view.
So that is part of that right concentration.
No, this right view. Right view, it's called wisdom training, right? Right view and right thought, these two belong to wisdom training. So if you see the thought as they really are, you know, non-self, it's just a process arising and passing away, you are developed right view, which same as wisdom.
Yes, that's how it starts with it, but then it is only when we're meditating that we are able to perceive all that's arising and vanishing. So it is also within that we can actually apply right view. Is that correct to say? And then feeling the same thing feelings as well. Now the next question that I have is, the word satipatthana. So that is a kind of debate that has been going on among academics and psychologists. You know, when we say satipatthana, aware of what? Aware of present or aware of, because there's a debate over the word patthana. Is it in remembrance? Is it in remembrance of the Buddha's teaching? So when we say arising, impermanent, vanishing, rising, vanishing, that is a Buddha's teaching. So do we meditate and remember the Buddha's injunction that we must see as there, or is it just to remember this moment that we are now meditating? So come back to this,
The second one.
Which is coming back to the present moment.
Satipatthana, sati mindfulness, patthana, places, or foundation. There are only four. The places or foundation for you to develop mindfulness. What are the four? Body, feeling, mind, and Dhamma. Dhamma is very wide. So these are the four places, or four foundations, or four basic for you, for a yogi to develop is mindfulness. So in Satipatthana, first part Buddha mentioned mindfulness first. Then second part Buddha mentioned seeing, arising, passing away together with their causes. Then finally, then you abide unattached to anything in the world. Once you see things as they really are, there's no self, no person, just the existing of five aggregates, the existing of body, feeling, mental, and Dhamma only. Only this phenomena exists, not a person, not a he, not she, and not a self. Then he lives independently, without clinging to anything in the world. Without clinging to anything in the world, this world, in the teaching of the Buddha, refers to five aggregates of the world, not a mundane world. Without clinging to the world, this world refers to the world of five aggregates. Okay, any other question?
Sayane, before I attend this retreat, I try to listen to your Dhamma talk during the retreat, I forget, in Penang or in Singapore. So one of the statements say that The proximate cause of mindfulness is strong perception on the breath. Would you please explain the point, the meaning of the strong perception on the breath?
Okay, strong perception on the breath. This refer to anapanasati only. Yeah. Huh? Only refer to anapanasati. Now, let us put aside anapanasati first. Because you asked a good question. We want to develop strong mindfulness, right? And we must know the proximate cause or near cause for the strong mindfulness, which is strong perception. Okay, this is a very important point. Huh? Let's say whatever arises in my body, I will answer your question later on. Let now I give another example first. Huh? Whatever arises in the mind and body, if you can constantly perceive it as impermanent, right? Constantly, day after day, week after week, month after month, then your perception becomes so strong, right? Because of repeated doing. Your perception becomes so strong until you cannot forget. That the mindfulness becomes well established. This is what I mean. Therefore, if you contemplate impermanent, you don't really see it passes away, also no problem because your mind is not ready yet. But if you keep on noting or contemplating impermanent, then your perception of impermanent becomes stronger until it becomes deeply imprinted in your mind that you will never forget. Then next time you come to retreat, whatever arises, it's just automatically impermanent. Then you, at that time, you see impermanent very fast. Because now your perception of impermanent becomes so strong, it harmonized with the truth. Then the truth manifests very clearly. This is the reason I say strong perception become the near cause of strong mindfulness. Go back to your breath. Huh? Strong perception on the breath. If my mind keep on perceive the breath, again and again, whatever I do, whether sitting, walking, eating, sleeping, I perceive the breath again and again, until I cannot forget my breath. Right? Until I cannot forget my breath, then it becomes strong mindfulness. What is the meaning of mindfulness? Mindfulness means don't forget. The meaning of mindfulness means don't forget. So when I perceive my breath all the time, you know, 24 hours and day after day, month after month, then my perception becomes so strong, then I don't forget my breath. This is how strong mindfulness is established on the breath. Because mindfulness itself got few meanings. Huh? Mindfulness got few meanings. One is aware. The second meaning is don't forget. Or memory, remember. Right? Mindfulness, remember. Understand?
This comes from a little bit of the reading I've done, so I just want a clarification. In the mental factors, the seven mental factors, there's nutritive life, I think is the seventh one. And then there's also a definition of heart base. Can you please elaborate on it so that my mind just doesn't go around to everything as an explanation?
You should listen to my Abhidhamma talk. Otherwise, you all learn self-study. No, you cannot get a full picture of the teaching of the Buddha. Nutritive essence, right? Or life faculty? You mentioned nutritive essence or life faculty? Life faculty?
The seventh mental factor, whatever that is.
Life faculties. Every mental factor, for example, feeling, anger, greed, right? How come they can function? No, because life life faculty, give them vitality. Yeah. Heart base is a place where all the mind dwells. Heart base is inside our heart. Below our heart, they got a lot of blood, right? Circulating. Inside that blood, a lot of heart base, where our mind dwells in it. The home is the home of all consciousness. It's called heart base.
So basically, the life faculty is more like a physical...
No, life faculty got two. One is physical, one is mental.
Yeah.
Both. Mm. Mm. Better ask meditation. You all better ask how be connected with meditation. Don't ask out of topic.
When I do my anapanasati, I feel like when I get to that subtle breath, my body starts drooping. Now, every time when I fix my body, at that time, it's all gone. And it happened many times. But if I didn't fix the way I sit, I felt like I almost fall down. So I don't know what to do in that case. Shall I still like move a little bit to make it straight? Or
do you feel you want to fall down?
I feel that I don't really fall down, but I feel like it's so like, you know, when you are so relaxed and the subtle breath is so soft and then you feel like going with it and almost the whole body like falls down.
This is how you feel only. Because the body becomes so subtle, little bit movement, you feel that it's a huge movement.
So I should not move?
If you want to move very slowly. No, for example, move very slowly, very slowly. At the same time, you're mindful of the breath, very, very slow. You cannot so abruptly. And sometimes you think it's like body line, you know, sliding to one side. It's only the feeling, only very little bit only, because concentrated mind is very sensitive. Even little bit movement, you thought like huge movement, which is not true. Otherwise, next time we take a picture for you.
I actually was thinking about that.
Okay, any?
Sayane, again, I listened to your Dhamma talk before.
Okay.
This is talking about the five jhana factors for sure. I do not reach that part yet, but I'm curious to understand if vitaka I can understand by reading, vichara I can understand. Piti, like the meaning is a joy or rapture. Sukha, the meaning happiness.
What's the difference?
How to make the difference,
Certain things you have to experience yourself, but sukha, piti is more gross, right? Like physical pity, a lot can manifest in the physically. For example, electricity current go through, then the goose pimple and standing, and like wave, you know, one after another in the whole body, and the whole body become very light, like no weight. These are all pity. Sukha is more subtle. Sukha is more mental happiness, more subtle. And the commentary give an example. For example, you are traveler, go for a journey, you know, and you feel very thirsty. And suddenly you feel so thirsty, then suddenly you hear the water, the sound of water. The moment you feel the sound of water, you have a lot of pity. The whole body become very excited. You have a lot of pity. But when you really take the water and drink, you have sukha. So commentary gives a simile for you to understand. So piti manifested loss from physical part. Sukha, more mental part. Okay?
So
only three of you ask questions. The rest, no question. Give chance to others, okay?
So I just want to come from like this understanding about the dependent origination. When you say break the
break
circle.
The chain.
Yeah, I want to know where exactly? Is it between feeling and craving, or between contact and feeling?
To break the contact is not possible. Contact is there all the time. Arahan always see things. Arahan also got feeling. You know, Arahan also got mental feeling. Unpleasant. Arahan also got unpleasant feeling. So to break contact with feeling is impossible. Right? For example, one day, Venerable Sariputta, you know, because Venerable Sariputta is famous for his gentleness, never get angry, right? Very gentle person, not like Mahamoggallana. Mahamoggallana also no anger, but comparatively, Venerable Sariputta has very gentle character. So, one day, one of the Brahmin, he didn't believe that Venerable Sariputta has no anger. So he wanted to test him. Stupid person, huh? He wanted to test him. So one day when Venerable Sariputta passed by, and he gave him a heavy punch on his back. And Venerable Sariputta not even turn the head and see who beat me or who punched me. Continue to walk, not even turn his head. But what do you think? Do you think that he has no pain on his body? He had the pain, huh? He had the pain. But as the mind of Arahan, immediately he not contemplated. Vanishing, vanishing, right? Pain is not myself, vanishing, vanishing. So he can continue walking and contemplating the pain until it disappears. He didn't have to turn back. Why you punch me? Not necessary, right? Just note, whatever arises, note until it disappears. Therefore, no reaction at all. So, what I want to say is that to break the chain of contact to feeling is not possible, because Arahan also feeling the pain. So what you need to break is feeling to craving. This is an important part.
But then the second question is, again, you mentioned Arahant don't get angry.
Mm.
That means he feel the pain, but he can stop of being angry. Mm. So that
he
means...
He feel the body pain, no mental pain. Mm.
So that means he has control to...
Not control, he's aware, and his mindfulness and wisdom is so sharp, you know, he can note until it disappears. Even if it does not disappear, his mentally is not affected by the pain.
But how does he stop the anger? Of?
He has no anger at all. He already no anger.
Otherwise,
how can become Arahan? Anagami already uproot the anger, not to speak Arahan. So Anagami already no more anger. Arahan was completely gone.
Oh, let me put it in a different way. Mm. So how do, let's say we haven't achieved Anagami.
Mm.
And to become Anagami, how do we stop anger from appearing? No,
continuously, whatever arises, anger also arises due to clinging, I tell you. Everything arises also due to clinging. Clinging to anger as I, mind, myself, you know. So whatever arises, vanishing, suffering, pain, not myself. I think I have shared with you in one of the interview, Mahakothita, since you asked this question, Mahakothita asked Venerable Sariputta, first, how to become Sotapan. Your question is how to become Anagami, so to get rid of anger. Let us start with the basic one, how to become Sotapan first. How to become Sotapan? Then Venerable Sariputta said, you should regard five aggregates as vanishing, impermanent, not consistent, and pain, like tumor, like arrow, like disease, affliction, cancer, void of self, emptiness, and non-self. I think give 10 list. Keep on contemplating in this way, in regard of five aggregate, then gradually you will become Sotapa. Then Mahakotita asked the second question, how to become Sagadagami, higher than Sotapan? Do you know Sagadagami? Higher than Sotapan, right? A state, we have four stages, right? Sotapan, Sagadagami, Anagami, and Arahant. So how to become Sagadagami? Venerable Sariputta give the same answer, like first one. Then Mahakotita asked again, how to become Anagami? Venerable Sariputta give the same answer. Same thing. Therefore, I teach you whatever arises in the body, not vanishing, vanishing, cause and effect, not myself, not myself. Regardless whether you want to become Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, even up to Arahan, you note the same thing all the time. This in the Sutta, Kanda Sanyuta Sutta. Okay. Only then, when feeling arises, you note. Vanishing, vanishing, impermanent, impermanent, not myself. So feeling stop there, it will not trigger craving. When it does not trigger craving, you are not performing any karmic action. Every time you not, then craving disappeared. Therefore, your craving become less and less, less and less. Then one day when wisdom matured, then when wisdom matured, then the path consciousness, the path, Sotapanna path consciousness will arise and uproot this sakayariti from first stage to second stage to third stage.
So that this indicates that Sariputta, the Lord of Sariputta, is mindfulness and awareness. So that is why one does not need to react.
Not only mindfulness, wisdom. Mindfulness and wisdom are always there, always present. Our mindfulness and wisdom always missing, lacking here and there. So we are forgetful. We are not mindful. We are always forgetful.
That's why we react.
Therefore, how to make the mindfulness well established? Just now, she asked the question. Strong perception on impermanent. Strong perception, don't forget it. Then it becomes automatic. Okay. Any question? No? Let us give out a chance.
My question may be a little basic.
Okay.
Yesterday when I tried Anapanasati, but only they talk too much, so it's my concept. I go to the hospital in the pain. It seems my mind becomes more focused. Is it?
I mean, when you concentrate on pain, mind become more focused. Mm-hmm.
And if we keep saying...
when you focus on pain, how you note, how you contemplate?
Unpleasant feeling is not mine, it's not the self. But it means that our mind becomes restless. Keep noting.
This is not restless. This is called, wise attention. This is not restless. Wise attention.
So it's
okay. Yeah. You also feel that it's more focused than Anapana. You experience it yourself, right? It's called wise attention. If you don't pay attention wisely in this way, you will think, oh, I'm painful, I hate you, pain, don't come. This is called unwise attention. You cannot focus here, only restless, what for? Right? No point. Only last day you know. Long time I tell you, when they cannot concentrate, go ahead.
The first time I can't, it becomes Very careful, more careful. So.
One try not enough. Huh? Try again and again and again.
I know before I go.
Okay.
So coming back to meditation on the mind, is it important to see the shape of the thought? Because right now I think we all can.
Thought shape has no shape.
No, anger. We see anger. It's. I guess that's what I meant. We see, because these are very strong emotions. You can easily identify. But then, in between anger and hatred and greed, there are all these little, like fishes, you know, swimming in your head, and which you can't really see. I mean, I can see they're coming in and out, and they're moving so fast that I. So my question is, do I have to identify these little fishes of thoughts here and there? Because they are moving very fast.
If they move very fast, you just say that wandering thought or restlessness. Just put a name on it, enough. No need to go into detail.
So it's not that important to identify and say, because I'm just wondering, are these just coming out, emerging? Because anger is, you know, when it emerges, it's very, very clear. But when it comes to these, are these kind of toxic and just coming up, you know, as slowly becoming more visible, more prominent?
If you can form very detailed up, from very detail, you can see it now. So from very starting, you can see until it become grow up to become strong anger. If you can see clearly, you can see. But I don't think you can see it very clearly. If you can see it very clearly from very beginning, how the anger and all start to develop and all the making up story to the stage becomes so huge, that is also good. Then you see from how it develops. Then you can discern cause and effect, how it develops. But most people, they cannot see so clearly. Note it, how you note?
Arising.
No word, how you recognize?
No, inside, mentally. Yeah, but
when I say labeling, it's mentally label it.
But you don't want to go through the, you know, cause and condition of it. It's too slow. The other thing is multitasking. You know, once we go out on this retreat, identify what kind of mind will be operating at when we are doing two, three things at the same time.
You focus on what you are doing at that moment.
You eat and talk and you write and.
So you focus one. So if they say you do three things, now you focus one. They say you are eating, then you also do other things. Don't focus this one. Focus on eating. You have your choice, right?
So you choose the moment to pay attention.
Yes. Although you are doing the three things together, there is one thing you should focus. That's how you train your mind. Don't scatter here and there. For example, when I'm cooking, they say you are cooking, you also can concentrate on the breath. You don't have to concentrate on cooking. Right? What I mean, you have the choice which part you want to concentrate. If you want to concentrate on cooking, it's just movement, wind element. You don't say, wow, very good, very nice. That caused a lot of grief in you, right? So you just concentrate wind element, enough. It's called wise attention. What I mean is wise attention that will not arouse greed. This is called wise attention. Okay, any attention that arises that causes you to arise greed is called unwise attention. So you could choose anything that can cause, that will not cause refinements to arise in your mind. You have your own choice. You make your own choice. Okay, you again?
Yes. I think maybe this question
person can hurt the beginner?
I'm so curious about myself that I can sit down for 1 hour, 15 minutes without moving, but I really has a very difficulties to concentrate in mind. So
difficult to concentrate on breath.
My friend. I mean, so one of my friends tried to help me see the meditators. So she guide me by using, it's like a kind of tally
bit.
Bit or tally counter. Now my what you call tally checker. Tally checker, like when you break in, break out, check. One. Use the beat, like breath in, breath out, you move the big one. I tried that one, but I don't know if it's correct or not. My question that by what my friend understanding, because you can't concentrate, you need something to play to make your mind concentrate, something like that. So my question is, is there any benefit or just useless by using this kind of thing to help us concentrate?
If you want, you can. From very starting point, can. Let's say you sit 1 hour and 20 minutes, half an hour you use beep. Don't I don't want sound one, okay? Next time sound become disturbances. You use the what? Beep. You do half an hour, then put aside. Don't become a habit. Become a habit, you cannot go to jhana. Okay? Half an hour. For first half an hour, the last half an hour don't use. Can. Okay, last question. Wait first. Only three of you monopolized.
With regard to her question, sometimes when I'm meditating at home and I can't concentrate, what I do, I sometimes just find my pulse. Is that okay?
Helps you?
My pulse?
I know, helps you or not?
Yes.
Helps you to calm down?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
So that's okay.
Okay. Okay, so the lastly, I wonder why nobody asks. When I go back home, how do I continue my practice? Why nobody asks this question? I would suggest you, retreat is just building up momentum. You know, when you go back home, I don't think you can get up at 4 o'clock. So it's in retreat, you build up the momentum. Then when you go back home, in order to maintain, to make progress is very difficult. To maintain it is still struggling. For first few weeks, okay. After 1 month, 2 months, no. Go down again. This is natural for everyone. And unless you have very strong determination. Otherwise, as day goes on, your concentration, your wisdom all will go down again and again. So in order to maintain it, you need to sit, for my opinion, 2 hours in a day. You can, if you want to build deep concentration, I will suggest you to sit continuously, then dividing into two. Because concentration need long sitting. Concentration need very long sitting. You break one hour, because only after 1 hour you start to build up concentration. Then ding, you have to get up. I think it's a waste. So it's better you train yourself for, you know, 1 hour, 1 hour 20 minutes, 1 hour 30 minutes, up to 2 hours in a day. Otherwise, if you don't want to do concentration, then you can break into 2 hours. One day in the morning, one sitting in the morning, one sitting in the evening. And in our daily life, try to contemplate impermanent. Because in our daily life, you know, you associate with people, your staff, a lot of emotion, you know, sometimes disagreement, you know, and sometimes you see, you hear, can cause a lot of annoyance in your mind. At that time, you want to concentrate on the breath, it's very difficult, because the breath is too subtle for you to be aware of. So at that time, you should contemplate your emotion. You know, vanishing, cause and effect. Keep on telling the same thing, vanishing. So that the flow of the emotion stop. Even you cannot see it passes away, but to let it stop also good for you. To let the flow of emotion stop so that you will not perform bad karma. Okay? So in your daily life, try to apply it. Whatever you see, you hear, especially emotion, sorrow, you know, anger, greed, whatever you can remember, just note, vanishing, note it, cause and effect, not myself. So within 6 months, you will see your change.
My question is, when you are practicing at home, at what point or when do you change from samatha to vipassana?
Okay.
Certain of concentration heavily when they change you, so how do you know when to change you?
When to change?
Yeah.
It depends on what you want. If let's say you want to sit 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour at night, and you do want to practice pure concentration, you want to mix concentration and insight, right? Then after half an hour, you can change already. After half an hour anapanasati, you can change. They say you sit 1 hour, you know, half an hour already. Okay, you think enough. I want to see arising and passing away, which is more important. Then you change, see whatever arises in the body. There are so many sensations in the body, right? Pain, tingling, vibration, or whatever arises in the pot. You know, feeling, unpleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, or the memory, you know, all this. Then try to see it vanishing, not myself, pass away again. After half an hour. Okay, enough for today.
Sayang, very sorry, the last question, but maybe it is important to correct our understanding. We call you Sayang, but when we take in the 8 precepts, we use the word
Ayang.
Now, my understanding in Indonesia, when we meet the bhikkhuni, but practice Theravada, we call Ayang. For Anagarini, we call Sayale. So when I tell this reader, it made me, do I have a wrong understanding of Aya and Sayale,
meaning? Sayale is only Burmese name, Burmese language. Aya is Pali. So when we say all Kasa and Ahang Man, Ahang Aya, all are Pali. If I suddenly put Ahang Sayale, it's just a Burmese word. Suddenly it come into the Pali sentence, people get very confused. Therefore I use Aya just to make it standardized, all Pali. Siale is Burmese language.
Oh, I see.
Aya is Pali language.
Now I understand.
Okay, enough for today. Okay.
Sadhu.
Okay. May all of you be well and happy.